Today's February 20th, 2025. Current Bitcoin price is $98,312.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
What's going on, Rick?
Oh, just enjoying the slight rise in Bitcoin. Not a whole lot to write home about, but, you know, could be worse.
It definitely could be worse. And it was, when I saw it this morning, I saw it, you know, it got up to, you know, 98.7. And then I saw that rejection candle come down because it dipped below again for a little bit there. And I was like, oh, shit, we're going lower. But then it started to kind of rebound back up. And I mean, we're able to cross over the $98,000 threshold, so that's something.
Hey, take your wins where you can.
Yeah.
But, you know, I still think we're going to be in this kind of sideways pattern for a bit until it breaks up or down.
Yeah.
And I don't know which direction it's really going to go first.
No, I don't know either. I mean, if you look at the sentiment, I think we've got some fear in the markets right now. And actually, I'm going to pull this up real quick because this might be a good time to go ahead and pull it up. Go ahead and tell us about the theoretical buys.
Okay, theoretical purchase number one. This is in October 2023. I said an offhand remark late October that if you bought $3,000 of Bitcoin right now, you'd be sitting pretty shortly. And it's been a year and 4 months roughly. And that $3,000 investment would have netted you 0.0885 Bitcoin, which is now worth 8,701. So not quite tripled. I mean, it did hit 9,000 before, but it's still pretty good. The second theoretical purchase right at the halving, and that one, you know, put $1,000 down. That's basically $64,000 of Bitcoin. Would have netted you 0.01564 Bitcoin, and that now is worth 1538. So 50% gain since April.
Yeah, that's still, I mean, that's not horrible. I mean, those numbers are looking pretty good. And what I was looking up while you were doing that was I wanted to pull up the Fear and Greed Index currently. And right now, this is coming off of CoinMarketCap. This is at a 42, which is neutral, considered neutral right now. The reason why I wanted to bring that up was, I mean, if you look at the sentiment on Twitter or X, everybody is very, unless they're just hyper bullish Bitcoin maxis, everybody's just like, oh man, what's going on here? I'm losing my butt, you know, whatever the case may be. They're being dramatic, right? But, yeah, we're just not seeing kind of the typical movement during this time as I would expect. But at the same time, like it's not going down. It's just range bound still consolidating.
Yeah. Well, honestly, we haven't had the same dramatic pullbacks that we've seen in previous cycles. And I think a lot of that has to do with the ETFs.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And if you look at the chart, cause I loaded the most recent chart from Farsight in there as well. Even with the slight rise that we had today, like it still looks like, I mean, a lot of outflows continuing even from last time I recorded, right?
Yep.
So,
well, of course, Grayscale is usually leading the chart on charge on that, but you know,
yeah, it doesn't look great. We still don't know what BlackRock did today. Yesterday it looks like they were completely absent, or at least they came out null. But overall today, right now for February 20th, it looks like there's 252 million that was sold off today. Yeah, but at the same time, like the price was kind of in some positive momentum. Like I wouldn't call it a full-on bull charge, but it's definitely trying to creep back up. We'll just have to see if that kind of holds tomorrow or what that does.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just think it's kind of interesting with the Fear and Greed Index the way that it was. Last episode, we'd kind of, I think we mentioned, or you had mentioned the purchase of a sovereign, of a Bitcoin sovereign wealth fund, or at least a Middle Eastern country purchasing Bitcoin for a sovereign wealth fund.
Yeah, there had been rumors for a while that some Emirate countries were doing that, specifically Abu Dhabi. And we hadn't seen the article yet, but immediately after we recorded, Hans found the article, yeah, which stated that they had to disclose that they were buying Bitcoin. How much did they buy?
$460 million worth of BlackRock IBIT.
So it's not the full Bitcoin. I mean, it's the Bitcoin IOUs, but I mean, that's still pretty good. That's going to be putting some upward pressure on the price.
Yeah. I mean, one, that's one thing that I think has been kind of interesting. As hard as they have tried, because you know the bears have been pushing and pushing down, or trying to push the price down, there's been a lot of buying pressure at that 90,000 range.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, as with anything, like, it could go one or two ways, right? We keep on testing that support level, and eventually, like, if that support level's not strong, you will break through it. I know we've been through this before.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it can work as a trampoline. And yeah, it can balance you
out. Honestly, yeah, especially the breakdown, and then you kind of resent sentiment, get things a little bit fearful, and then that's when the springboard can really take off. And it's kind of hard to predict what's going to happen. I think there's going to be this last phase that's coming up next where things get crazy. But it's just so tough to know in this market. I mean, there's definitely some warning signs around the economy. So we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely... it's funny because they wouldn't toss around the word at all under Biden's presidency. But now everybody's like, oh, yeah, well, we're in a recession. We're in a recession. Have you seen that anywhere?
I've seen some things. And yeah, I've seen a story where this, I think it was Politico or something, was saying that leftists were lied to about the economy, that things are really bad. It's like, if you were lying, or if you believe those lies, then you were lying to yourself as well. Because everyone else who lives in reality, I mean, they can see a lot of hurt around everywhere.
Yeah. No,
and I think Trump won I wouldn't say a landslide, but he definitely won the popular vote. And that wouldn't have happened under a strong economy and under Biden.
Yeah. And I think it's important to remind people that just because you see the stock market doing well and your home is appreciated in value, all that means is that the American dollar is depreciated.
Right. Yeah. And that's basically what we've been seeing.
Yeah. I mean, is there growth? Sure. Maybe companies are doing okay, but it's only like, you're only seeing like a 1% growth. So if inflation's rising like 9% a year, and you say, well, my company, my stock purchase went up 10%. Well, yeah, you made 2%. Good job, buddy.
Yep.
Like, you've got to remember, like, it's illusionary. Smoke and mirrors.
And confidence.
And confidence. And confidence. So, I mean, it's kind of interesting how things are kind of switching, and like all of a sudden, and I took a mental note of it because I saw recession a couple times, I think, within the past couple of days, printed in headlines and articles. And to me, I think that's kind of interesting because they almost basically changed the definition of what recession was under Biden.
Yeah, because it used to be negative quarterly growth in two or more quarters. And then they had negative quarterly growth, but they were like, nope, we're not calling this a recession.
Yeah, they refused to do it.
Yeah.
And now, like, we haven't even seen one quarter under Trump yet, and they're already like, oh, yeah, no, we're in a recession.
We're in a recession now. It's all Trump's fault.
Yep. Yeah. It's an interesting kind of play. Not a whole lot of news in the United States strategic Bitcoin reserves for the individual states. It looks like Montana is moving forward with a bill, but Utah is still in the lead, and it looks like Texas is kind of close behind. So to me, I think that will probably be some of the earliest catalysts we see that'll change kind of the direction of this price action that we're seeing currently in Bitcoin.
Yep. I think so, especially if states get involved. I think that's going to happen first, and then the United States will do their own version of a sovereign wealth fund, I'm thinking. But who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's, you know, we were kind of talking about this before we got going. You know, we don't know exactly what all is going to go into the United States Strategic Wealth Fund, We still don't know for sure about a Bitcoin reserve fund. That may happen as well. Like, it could be two separate things. But one of the things that I think was kind of interesting, and I think you kind of brought this up with Javier Milei. And Libra.
The El Libra. Yeah. So basically, you know, there's been a few high-profile pump and dump rug sweep meme coins. The first one that comes to mind, it's not the recent ones, like Haktua.
Yeah.
The spit on that thing. That lady, she did one and looked like she made up pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
The second one was Trump.
Yeah.
Speaking of presidential candidates, Trump did one and I don't know, that was pretty frustrating. I think that actually, yeah, that actually really frustrated me. But that one was on Solana. And then Javier Milei, the libertarian president of Argentina, he was involved with one. Or we don't know how involved he was, but he definitely tweeted its announcement.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you call it posted on X now?
Yeah, Milei later removed his post claiming he had little knowledge about the token. The token crashed and a lawsuit has been filed.
Yeah, it looks like some people were doing some not above board things with that coin.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, one of the guys that was in charge of it, he spoke with CoffeeZilla and admitted to all sorts of felonies. If you have some time, you might want to watch that interview. I mean, if I'm going to be giving an interview and I'm under investigation, the last person I'm going to be talking to is CoffeeZilla. Whatever you want to say about that guy, he's the one who figured out Sam Bankman-Fried was like full of crap. One of the first, right?
Yeah.
So he's not dumb, and he spots scams, and yeah, probably not the best idea.
Yeah, and I think that kind of goes back to something kind of interesting. Like, one of the things that has made this cycle so different, and again, this is another thing that we were kind of talking about before we got going tonight, we haven't really seen an altcoin season.
No, I mean, altcoins have done okay. I mean, some of them have done okay, but none of them have taken off at all.
Mm-mm. No, I don't think hardly any of them. If some have, and I haven't paid a whole lot of attention to them, if some have, they haven't even crossed the previous all-time high for the ones that were around before. They're sure below those levels. Ethereum is one like that. That's been one of the biggest disappointments. It's been crazy, but you know, we looked at it, and it looks like in the month of January alone, there were over 600,000. We're going to call them ship coins that were created in the month of January.
Yes, it rhymes with ship.
Coins.
Yes, yeah, because they're going to go to the bottom of the ocean, and these ones aren't boating accidents. These are just Lusitanias getting sunk by the rug pullers and the submarines, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's kind of funny too, because there's been a narrative almost every Bitcoin cycle, and this one appears to be the Shipcoin Casino.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you kind of bring it up, the altcoins, you know, like Ethereum. In the last cycle, I mean, Bitcoin gained quite a bit on its run up to 69,000. But as a percentage, Ethereum did way more percentage gain in that cycle, and it did excellent in the previous cycle in 2017. So if you would have had been purchasing Ethereum and just holding those in those two previous cycles, you would have been sitting even better than holding Bitcoin. But this cycle, not so much. Matter of fact, it topped out at 4,000 sometime this year, and it's not really made its way up.
No. Trying to find this here. What is this? This is at one time Bitcoin, or not Bitcoin, Ethereum was at, looks like it got to $4,108, but that was back in December. Well, that's 24, really?
It's been a year since it hit, over a year since it hit that, right?
Well, that's why I'm looking at the date here. This says December of last year. Then it got December 4,000.
Okay, so it did.
But that's still, I don't think that's the all-time high. I've got to go back further, though.
No, I think 4,000 is the all-time high.
No, no, no. We're finding higher here. Let's see.
Oh,
no.
Finding higher.
No, that's still. Oh. March, it looks like March of 24 was still around that 4,000 mark. But that's when it was going through the time of, you know, possibilities for ETFs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I mean, it's just been lackluster all the way around unless you have Bitcoin. And that's not to say
Solana's done okay.
Yeah. But man, you and I, we've talked about Solana before. I know we've talked about it on this podcast. I have issues with Solana. Any cryptocurrency that you can restart causes me pause.
Well, didn't they also restart Ethereum some time ago?
Yeah, once upon a time. So when it was Ethereum, and that's where you got Ethereum and Ethereum Classic. They rolled back the Ethereum blockchain after it got hacked. And that's what has the Ethereum that we have today, which has now gone into proof of stake as opposed to proof of work. And prior to that, then the other chain kind of continued on, and that was Ethereum Classic. So yeah, they, you know, and I don't think it'll ever be possible again to create a token in the same way that Bitcoin was created. That isn't pre-mined, that doesn't have a CEO, that doesn't have some sort of a hype cycle that went along with it prior to it launching. Because in the beginning of Bitcoin, nobody wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't think you can recreate that magic now.
No. No, there's too much greed to be had. So, you know, we've been talking about these altcoins and all these different coins. Stay away from them. That's just our message. Stay away from them. They're pretty much up to no good.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to invest, buy Bitcoin.
Buy Bitcoin. And if you would have done that this past year, you'd be sitting better than all the other coins.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's sad. I mean, it used to have these cycles where, you know, Bitcoin would run up and then would kind of drop a little bit and trade sideways for a little while. And then Ethereum would run up right afterwards and the gains would be higher in Ethereum. And then it would kind of get up there and then start to trade sideways. And then all your altcoins would kind of do the same thing. And then all of that money would bust out of altcoins. Then they would all come back into Bitcoin and then it would pump up for the next leg. And it would just kind of repeat that cycle over and over until the, you know, the blow off tops happened.
Right.
I don't know if that's going to happen this cycle.
Well, I mean, I still think we have some time in this cycle. Maybe they will get that final pump up. But even if they've managed to do something, I still think the safest bet is
Bitcoin. No, I completely agree. And I mean, you know, if you're not one of the guys that's in the know about the coin when it's going to pump, like in the beginning, and you're buying it on the lag end when you're seeing the posts on X and stuff like that, you're already too late.
Yep.
You're going to end up, you know, holding their bags for them while they cash out.
You'll be handing them your bag. Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what's going to happen. You will be the last one standing. You'll be the one holding everything. The bag of ships at that point as they go down to the bottom of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, not a whole lot of in the way of news otherwise. I mean, there's all kinds of news going on. None of it is particularly focused on Bitcoin per se. But Bitcoin is kind of just holding its own, trying to see what's going to happen.
All right. Hey, I'm not surprised with any direction it goes right now. It's looking like it could fall apart or blast off. Hard to say which direction.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Couple things. If you are going to be buying Bitcoin and you do decide you want to go on full on sovereign individual and you want to do your own self-custody, you can always get your hardware wallets from our website at www.thebitbytepodcast.com/deals. And that does give you a link directly to the vendors of the hardware wallets. And it just helps get us a little bit of a kickback to support the podcast. And then the other thing you can do too is sign up for our newsletter.
Absolutely.
And if you want to go full on sovereign wealth, get yourself a little Bitminer.
That's right. We should be selling those on our store.
I would like to. I would actually like, I would love to look for an affiliate link out there. So if anybody listens that wants to do an affiliate link with us on those, let me know. I think the BitAx are awesome little tools, and I think it helps break up the centralized nature of what's happening with Bitcoin currently.
Yep. And, you know, you have a little heater in winter.
In winter.
May not be good for July. I mean, if you're in Australia, it's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Keep it going all the time. Right. Thank you guys for listening.
Bye.